that you can move this table this way.
This way?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun, dodging the...
Yeah, I know. Opening the door or trying to...
Need more excitement.
So both say, let's start today with Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's in Simon Yud Zayin, which is on page Lamed Aleph. Okay. So Rabbeinu Yerucham, one of the Rishonim who wrote extensively, and especially as an interpretation, a commentary on Rashi, meaning he very often expands Rashi, and that's what he's going to do for us now, in Mirtz Hashem. And the name, the topic of our discussion today is Hadlaka al Pesach Habayis Mibachutz. And the Gemara establishes Tana Rabbana Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lanicha al Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. Rashi says that the reason why we light Ner Chanukah on the outside of the house is because of Pirsum HaNes. And Rashi goes very far with this. Rashi requires that the Ner be right outside your private bias. It shouldn't be out in Rishus HaRabim, because the Pirsum HaNes, according to Rashi, has to be related to the bias. As if to say, we're declaring that this is a household that has an Ner Chanukah. Our household commemorates and thanks Hashem for the miracle in which X number of people in the house were saved and spared from the Gezeirah Shmad of the Yevonim. That's the Pirsum HaNes. If you put it out in Rishus HaRabim, then no one has any clue to connect that Ner Chanukah with your bias. And that, in a sense, detracts a major element of Pirsum HaNes. So it means that, according to Rashi, Pirsum HaNes has two different elements to it. It's not sufficient for one element to be achieved, meaning to create a Ner Chanukah, a Ner Mitzvah, but there also has to be a Ner Mitzvah, a Ner Chanukah, which represents the bias. That's why the Braisa says that Mitzvah's Ner Chanukah is Ner Yishu Beso, and therefore the Gemara requires that the Ner Chanukah be situated right next to the bias, next to the Pesach HaBayis. How much of a distance do we allow between the Ner Chanukah and the Pesach HaBayis? Anybody remember?
A tefach,
right. That's really very, very close. So it's a declaration that this bias is lighting a Ner Chanukah. That's the Ner Yishu Beso. And we've discussed in the past that Ner Yishu Beso might be a Chovas bias, or even if I don't assume it's a Chovas bias, but I need the bias, a Holich Besvina is not able to fulfill his mitzvah. The mitzvah is that kol bayis miyisrael have an Ner Chanukah, be equipped with an Ner Chanukah, and the pirsum is the pirsum of the bayis. I mean, to such an extent that the Rambam requires, even within the context of the Mahajan and the Mahajan min a Mahajan, that there be one madlik. He represents the entire bayis. The Rambam rejects, as we discussed at great length, the Ramah's understanding of the Mahajan, that each person lights his own Ner Chanukah. Once each person is lighting his own Ner Chanukah, you don't have a single Ner or a single Adloka that represents the bias. Our discussion today is going to focus on a situation where he cannot light Pesach Beso, and that's not an option for him. For example, the Gemara itself addresses the question of Hadar Ba'aliyah. So he doesn't have the option of putting a Ner Chanukah, placing it next to his Pesach, the Pesach of his bayis, outside in the, you know, where the Rishus HaRabim could pass by. He's up in Aliyah. And in such a case, Meinicha Bechalon HaSamach Rishus HaRabim. That's the best that he could do under the circumstances to expand the Pirsum HaNes, is that people on the outside of the house can see his Ner Chanukah in the window. I was asked recently a question, which is better? Let's say if a person could light me Pesach Beso, but there are very few people who will see that Ner Chanukah, but if he lights it in a chalon, he will expand the number of people who would publicize the miracle. And frankly speaking, I don't know the answer to that question. I looked in the Mishnah Berurah, I didn't find the answer. Maybe it's there and I missed it. Because again, there are pros and cons here. On the one hand, we want it to be Pesach based on Vivachutz in order to put it out there, out of the house. It should be out of the house as opposed to inside the house. But on the other hand, we want, our ultimate goal is to expand the Pirsum HaNes. So what do we do in a toss-up between the two? So what's our subject for today? So what I'd like you to underline here in this first paragraph in Siman Yud Zayin, if you count down six lines from the top, you'll see a line that starts with Midivrei Rashi. And Rashi seems to imply Dibakahai Gavna in a situation Shabbayis Pasuach L'Shus HaRabin. In other words, there's no private area which belongs to you outside of the house, but once you leave, you exit the house, you're already located in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and therefore there are many people who might be lighting in that place, and there's no heker, there's no indication that this nair is coming from your bias, you're already in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Eino meniach haner al Pesach beso mibachutz. He should not in such a case place his nair outside. And what we're going to have a discussion is based on Rav Yerucham. So where should he light the Nair in such a case? In other words, if immediately outside his house he's already in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Tosfos Shita is that's exactly where he should light. Rashi Shita is that insofar as the Nair is located in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that would not be a connection, a heker to his bias. But Rashi doesn't tell us in that situation exactly where he should light the candle. And Rav Yerucham is going to come up with a very original idea as to where he should light the candle.
What was the havamina by the Pesach?
What was the havamina of what?
By the Pesach.
So what we discussed a little bit before you came in, Lenny, is that the Pesach means within one tefach, near the entrance into his house. He's lighting the Ner Chanukah almost contiguous to his house, right adjoining his house, and that's going to make the Pirsum HaNes a Maisa the Bias, that the whole Bias is publicizing the miracle. Why? Because Pesach Beis Ovivachutz is, according to Rashi, is in his private property. So there's no question that when you see the Nair there, you connect it immediately to that Bias. What would be if the immediately you walk out of your house, you exit your house into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Rashi says in that case you don't light it outside your house. Where do you light it? That's going to be a discussion for us today. Now, in order to appreciate Rabbeinu Yerucham and the way he understands Rashi, we have to address the kasha of the Rashba. We have a sugya in Masecht Bava Kama, which is the only sugya where the Mishnah actually mentions Ner Chanukah. It doesn't mention it in Masecht Shabbos, it's all a braisa. But the Mishnah in Masecht Bava Kama wants to know to what extent do we hold a madlik, someone who lights Ner Chanukah, responsible for any possible damages that flame may cause. Now, obviously, if he's going to fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanukah the way ideally it should be fulfilled, that he's putting his Ner outside of his house, then in such a case, the responsibility might shift from the Madlik, who's fulfilling his mitzvah, over to the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabim, the people who are passing by. So, for example, the case in the Mishnah where a person is riding his camel or his donkey, and he's got a massive amount of flax on the back of the animal, the beast of burden, and as a result, some of this flax caught fire from the Ner Chanukah, which was placed mi Pesach Beis on mi Bachutz. And we're going to say that, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, in the Mishnah there in Bava Kama, in Perek HaKones, your potter, the madlik, the owner of the Ner Chanukah, is potter, even though, again, normally, under normal situation, if you put a fire outside of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that's a pshia, and you're held responsible for what's called the av of Nezikin called Eish. But here, in this case, that you have Rosh Hashanah, you have permission to light your Ner Chanukah outside. That shifts the responsibility to those who are going in Rosh Hashanah. They have to guarantee that they don't get damaged by your Ner Chanukah. Not only that, the Mishnah goes even a step further. According to Rav Yehuda, since the responsibility of Shmiras Nezikin was shifted over to the Bnei Rosh Hashanah, and this camel driver, insofar as he wasn't careful about his flax getting a lit up in the flame by the result, as a result of the Ner Chanukah, he now becomes the Baal HaEish, meaning Lomi Boy. I don't have to tell you that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the owner of the flax has no recourse to sue the owner of the Ner Chanukah for damages, but even moreover, he, the owner of the camel, whose flax is now up in fire, he now owns an Eish. He becomes responsible towards others for Shmiras Nezikin. So if he goes ahead and as a result of this flax that's on fire, he burns down someone else's bira, he has to pay damages because of Eish. So not only is the owner of the Ner Chanukah exempt, he's alleviated from his responsibility vis-a-vis the Ner Chanukah, but not only that, the responsibility for this Ner Chanukah now rests totally, solely on the shoulders of the Bnei Rosh Hashanah who are traveling with Shasarab, and if as a result of the Ner Chanukah they end up with an Eish, they become the Baal Eish. They become morally and even financially responsible for that Eish. Comes along the Rashba and he asks the following question. According to Rashi, the whole scenario in Masechet Bava Kama seems to be off kilter. Because again, Rashi is holding that you never put your Ner Chanukah in Rosh Hashanah. In fact, if you exit from your house and you find yourself in Rosh Hashanah, then you don't put the Ner Chanukah there. Let's say, before you get to Rabbeinu Yerucham, you place the Ner Chanukah inside your house. Maybe you light it near the Chalon, maybe you light it on your table, I don't know where you light it. But certainly not in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi doesn't recognize the validity of a Ner Chanukah and the kiyum of Ner Chanukah in Rosh Hashanah. Once you're in Rosh Hashanah, Rashi says that's taboo, that's completely excluded as far as the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is concerned. Only Tosis recognizes a Ner Chanukah in Rosh Hashanah. So what's the whole business here? The Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ner Chanukah is potter from the Zikin when he placed it outside in the Rosh Hashanah because Hotzio Mirshus. He had every right to put his Ner Chanukah there because that's the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's not true according to Rashi. Rashi holds that there is no such entity as a Ner Chanukah where? In Rosh Hashanah. So here we have Rabbeinu Yerucham. And he quotes Rashi. I added a word here just for clarification. If you see it on the side, did it come out? Meinicho.
Yes, yes.
So if you don't mind, we'll read it with that. Rashi says, Meinicho mibachutz, bepesach achitzon, asomach l'Rosh Hashanah, ala neros bifnim. Okay, let's see what the word bifnim means. Excellent. We have to go slowly here with this. Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham quotes Rashi, and Rashi's addressing the case where he exits his house, and where is he? He's in Rosh Hashanah. And again, we don't have this Rashi, but Rabbeinu Yerucham has this Rashi. What do you do in this case? You can't light it out in Rosh Hashanah because Rashi doesn't validate, he doesn't recognize a Ner Chanukah in Rosh Hashanah. So he says the following. He says take a look at the contradiction here between the Reish and the Sefer. Again, I'm just dramatizing it. There is no contradiction, but it looks like a contradiction because at face value he says that you should place the Ner Chanukah bePesach Hachitzon. Now, as soon as you hear, right, there are many entrances, you know, many doors within his house. We're talking about the outer door of his house. When you hear that you place the Ner Chanukah on the outer door of your house, what do you assume? That's in Rosh Hashanah. But yet, he says, Aval Neros mi bifnim, underlying those three words. So it's very strange. On the one hand, he's saying that we still want to maintain this concept of of Pesach Beso, and again, Pesach is the Pesach Achitzon, that's obvious. And Rashi's saying, wait a minute, I'm in trouble here because the Pesach Achitzon in this case is Samach L'Rishus HaRabin. And we don't want to place a Ner Chanukah Samach L'Rishus HaRabin because then nobody has any clue what is the connection between this Ner Chanukah and my house. So Rashi answers, Avalan Neros Bifnim. So what does that mean, Avalan Neros Bifnim? So let's go on in Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says, V'yesh omrim mi bachutz mamish b'shus harabim. He says, according to the Shitas HaTosfos, even though outside of his Pesach Beso is b'shus harabim, nevertheless, that's where he should put his candle. And again, if the Rashba was here, he would yell and scream, well, that's exactly the subject of the Mishnah in Bava Kama. And then he writes, V'ata, but what's our minog? Nogim ladlika mi bifnim, meaning exactly what I told you in the name of Rashi is our minuk. We don't want to go as far as Tosfos and say place the candle in Rosh Hashanah. That far we're not going to go. So how far are we going to go? Well, on the one hand, we still want to maintain this concept of Pesach Beso, right? But on the other hand, even though it's Pesach Beso, he's going to be Madlikit Bifnim. So again, you want to underline the two words, Ladliko Bi Bifnim, which is exactly what we saw in the opening line in Rabbeinu Chananel, Avalan Neros Mi Bifnim. And yet, we're still talking about Pesach Beso. We're not talking about a Chalon, we're not talking about Al Shulchano, we're talking about Pesach Beso, but Pesach Beso Va Neros Mi Bifnim. Well, what does this mean? So the Mechaber of this Sefer Gvuras Yitzchak summarizes in his own understanding what Rabbeinu Chananel is saying. And here's where I underline the next three lines. Hare kosav Rabbeinu Yerucham di af ledas Rashi b'chai gavna shabayis pasuach l'rishus harabim. Immediately when you exit your Pesach bayis, you roll into Rishus harabim. We still have to place the Ner Chanukah on the outside because we cannot give up on that pirsum hanes of the outside. But wait a second, that's impossible because we just finished saying that as soon as you exit the house, where are you? In Rosh Hashanah, and Rashi doesn't tolerate Rosh Hashanah. So you know, you understand where the tension here. You can hear the tension in the voice of Rabbeinu Yerucha, because on the one hand, he wants to get Pesach Beso Mibachutz, and we don't want to, you know, we're very aduk, you know, we're holding on to that definition for dear life. But on the other hand, we don't want the Ner to be situated in Rishus HaRabim. Ach eino menicho menich haner Rishus HaRabim atzmo. That he can't do because Rashi doesn't tolerate Rishus HaRabim. Ela mibifnim la Pesach. So how do you get this idea of Pesach Beso Mibachutz and at the same time call it Mibifnim la Pesach? Everybody with me on that? I mean, we're saying A and not A at the same time. Because on the one hand you're telling me it's Pesach Beso Mibachutz. On the other hand you're telling me, well, it's Mibifnim. It's gotta be Mibifnim because if it's Bachutz then you're sitting on Rosh Hashanah. Kavanoso. Shemeinicho chutz mi sofa hapnimis shel Pesach ovi haPesach atzmo. So he's envisioning the following. You know, we think of a Pesach as almost a non-entity, meaning it doesn't take up space, right? It's the door. Let's say you have a very thin door, and where are you? You know, you're either on the inside of the door or on the outside of the door. But now he's saying no, that there's something called, I would call it in my language, a threshold. Do you know what I mean by a threshold? Mm-hmm. You know, in Hebrew it's called a miftan, if you're familiar with that word. And the miftan is going to give you a certain thickness, or I call it a width, meaning there's a width from the outside lip of the threshold to the inside lip of the threshold. Again, I don't know exactly how much space you're taking up, I don't know. Call it a tefach, call it three tefach, or whatever it might be, but there's a certain distance. So he says the following. There's something called the safa pnimis, which means the edge of the threshold that's on the inside of the house. Okay? And then there's the ovi ha-pesach itself, meaning any any point, if you put a like a pin, so to speak, down on the floor, you know, put a little stick, put a knife inside, then you're beyond, again, moving towards the outside, you're beyond the inner lip of the Miftan, of this Ovia Pesach, as he calls it, and you're into the Ovia Pesach itself. And he's saying the following, that on the one hand, you're not in the Rishus HaRabim itself, because the Ovia Pesach is still in the Rishus HaYochid. Right, for example, the Gemara has a whole discussion in the first parak of Shabbos, what happens if I pick up something on the Ovia Pesach and I carry it out into Rishus HaRabim? The Gemara wants to say that you're chayef for such a thing, because the Ovia Pesach is still considered Rishus HaYochid. Or for example, the Sugya in Zvachim wants to know when they were Mekadesh the Azora, whether or not they were Mekadesh the Ovia Pesach of the Azora, meaning the entranceway into the Azora, or let's say for example there were Lishkos and there was the Sofa Pnimis and then there was the Ovia Pesach, whether or not the Kiddush even went into the airspace of the threshold of the door. And if I remember correctly, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that I forgot the conclusion. I think it's that there was Kiddush even on the. But I have to review that. I'll give you another example. The Gemara Psachim wants to know if, let's say, we all belong to one Chabura of Achilas HaPesach on Leil Tesvav, so the halacha is that you're not allowed to leave the Chabura. That's a lav. If you carry a Kezayis Basar HaPesach out of the Mokom HaChabura, you're Chayiv Malkus for that. So the Gemara wants to know, what happens if you carry it not outside of the place we're eating it? Let's say we're all eating it in the house, and there's an exit from the house. And what happens if you pick up a kezayis of Korban Pesach, and you carry it to the Pesach of the bayis? Is that considered to be bachutz or be bifnim? So the Gemara says, if it's the Sofa Pnimis, then you're okay. You know, that's not considered a hotzah mechutz l'bayis. But if you go beyond that into the Ovia Pesach, the Ovia Pesach is already considered outside. Again, technically it's not Rishus HaRabim because you own that airspace. It's your private property. But yet, it's considered Rishus HaRabim as far as being separated from the Rishus HaYochid. Do you follow me? It's like a twilight zone. It's like a no man's land. It's not Rishus HaYochid because it's already past the Sofa Pnimis. But yet it's not out there in Rishus HaRabim because it's still in your private property. So as far as Yitzias HaKezayis Bosom in a Pesach, you already took it out from Mokom to Mokom. This would be a fascinating question in the laws of Kiddush. Let's say I make Kiddush in my living room, and then I want to eat something outside of my house. That for sure I can't do. Why? That's called Ein Kiddush Ela Mokom Suda. What happens if I want to continue my meal in the threshold? For whatever reason, you know, I have a little sandwich bag, you know, and I want to eat it. I want to eat it in the Ovia Pesach. Is that called part of the bayis, or is it chutz l'bayis? So what I'm just trying to point out here is that this issue that we're facing here in Rabbeinu Yerucham is really a universal issue that applies in many different areas of halacha. How do we view the Pesach habayis beyond the Sofa Pnimis? And basically what we're saying is, and you'll see I underline this at the end of the paragraph, the last three lines, afli divrayam yesh l'kayim adin pesach beso mi bachutz, bad loka chutz mi sofa pnimis shal pesach bi ovia pesach atzmo. This is wild. But Rabbi Yerucham has found a solution to what seems to be an insolvable problem, a contradiction in terms. How does he reconcile the fact that on the one hand we want to achieve, says Rabbi Yerucham, Pesach Beisam Bechutz, but on the other hand it's not Rishus HaRabim? And the answer is, he's gone beyond the Sofa Pnimis, so he's already in an area which is connected or conjoined to the Rishus HaRabim. It's not technically Rishus HaRabim, but it's considered a fulfillment of the requirement of Pesach Beisam Bechutz. Anyone who sees the Ner Chanukah in that area will automatically connect to the Ner Chanukah to the bayis, because it's not really Rishus HaRabim, it's still in his private property, but at the same time it's not considered Rishus HaRabim. So again, it's outside of his house. You know, this is the quiz question. I wake you up in the middle of the night, I ask you the following question. How can you light an Ner Chanukah outside your house when immediately when you leave your house, you're in Rishus HaRabim, and you cannot light an Ner Chanukah in Rishus HaRabim? And what's going to be the answer? Ovi HaPesach, beyond the Sof HaPnimis. That area is enough to achieve the kiyum of Pirsum HaNes of Mi Pesach Beis HaMi Bachutz, because vis-a-vis the bias, the moment that he crossed that line, which is called the Sof HaPnimis, he's already outside of his house. He's not in Rishus HaRabim because he's not out in Rishus HaRabim. He's still in the Ovi HaPesach.
If we were to transpose that to Shabbat term, sounds like a Carmelit. It's neither here nor there. It's neither Shul Rabim or Shul Rafi, that area.
Okay, so let me just, in my mind, review some of the laws of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYoch. Let's say the following. If there's a door, see, the question is where your door is situated. So, I don't want to get off too much on a tangent here, but let's say, for example, he would have two doors. You know, there's one door in the Sof HaPnimis, right outside the Sof HaPnimis, right beyond the Sof HaPnimis. Then you get into the Ovi HaPesach, and then there's another door. Again, I'm going to make a few assumptions here. Let's assume that that door is closed. So that would mean that according to Halacha, the Ovi HaPesach is Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because Rishus HaYochid is any makom that's mukaf mechitzos. Mm-hmm. And here, if you close the door, it's the already mukaf mechitzos.
The outside door.
Like the outside door.
The screen door.
Wait, well again, so I don't know, you have to know what exactly a door is. Yeah, that's also not simple. But let's assume you now achieve mukaf mechitzos, then you've already fulfilled your requirement of, or your definition of Rishus HaYochid. And that would mean that let's say you're standing holding something on the Pesach, Ovi HaPesach. Keep reminding me that it's called Ovi HaPesach, right? If you're standing holding something with the Ovi HaPesach, you open the door, the outer door, and you step into Rishus HaRabim, you're chai from Melechus Hotzor. Now, if on the other hand, let's say that as soon as you open up the inner door, you're already outside in the, what do we call it, the Ovi HaPesach, right? Please remind me, Ovi HaPesach, I should write it on the board here. You're outside the Ovi HaPesach, and there's no mechitza. In other words, if you would look up towards the heavens, nothing is blocking you. You know, you're outside in airspace. That would make it into a karmelis. Why? Because it shed its definition as a Rishus HaYochid, because it's no longer mukaf mechitzos. It's not in Rishus HaRabim, because it's still your private property. No one in the Rabim is allowed to go in there. It's your Ovi HaPesach. And therefore, it would be neither here nor there. Technically, that's called a makom ptur. I called it a karmelis. It's really not a karmelis. There are differences between a makom ptur and a karmelis. Makom ptur, you're allowed to carry it. So, for example, if I wanted to get a chefetz from my personal property, my house, to you, and you're standing on Rishus HaRabim, how could I do that on Shabbos? The answer is I could put it down in the Ovi HaPesach, if the Ovi HaPesach is a makom ptur. If, on the other hand, the Ovi HaPesach, which is absolutely ridiculous, so what I'm saying now is shtuyot, but if the Ovi HaPesach would be a karmelis, then both of us would violate the Iser of karmelis. I would violate the Iser of karmelis because I stretch my arm out from my house into a karmelis. You, on the other hand, outside the house, would violate the Iser of karmelis by stretching your hand and bringing the object down. But it's not a karmelis. A karmelis is an area that's not surrounded by any mechitzos whatsoever. It's totally open, like a yar. Or what's that in English? A forest, right? A forest would be a karmelis. And that's where the Rabbanan said that it's such a wide open area that it looks a little bit like Rishus HaRabim, so they gave it the status of a quasi Rishus HaRabim, and you can't carry it there. That's called a karmelis, that's also a Rabbanan. But again, if I have my own private property, even though it's outside my door, that would be a makom ptur rather than a Rishus HaRabim. So next time you get stuck on Shabbos and you all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm carrying something, take a look if you can find someone's Ovi HaPesach. You know, look around. You know, don't stop walking. That's the key. Because as soon as you stop walking, then you're chayav for Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. Because we pass it on Ochas HaGuf Alright, that was a quick review of whatever I remembered from Alekas Hotzah. So you don't ask me any questions because that's all I remember. Alright. So what do we have now, Rabbi? So we have a very interesting concept of lighting an Er Chanukah on the Ovia Pesach. I mean, like, this is a whole new idea. I would even submit to you that according to Rabbi Yerucham, and we discussed this question in theoretical terms, in abstract terms, but now we can really ground it here, is how critical is it to have Pesach based on Mivachutz, right? We started with the Braisa. The Braisa says, Tanur Rabban, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Anicha al Pesach based on Mivachutz. Is that critical or is it not critical? Like, what do we do with Shas HaKonah V'Elech? You know, after Shas HaKonah, we said, Menicha al Shulchanah V'Dayo. There's no Pesach based on Mivachutz. So we invented a whole new entity called Takonas Ner Chanukah of Shas Sakonah. But does that mean that today, when there is no Sakonah, I can still light my Ner Chanukah on my dining room table? Or alternatively, what happened if we turn the clock back before Shas Sakonah? Historically, before that Shas Sakonah, what would be if he lit the candle on his table? He certainly didn't do the ideal mitzvah of Pesach Pesach Machutz. Was there any significance at all to his mitzvah? Again, you remember the Brisker Rav was clearing yesterday whether Madlika al Shulchan was a new takana, or it's the old mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, just it's lacking the embellishment of Pesach Pesach Machutz. So how do we define Pesach Pesach Machutz? Is it absolutely critical to Ner Chanukah, or is it just an embellishment of Ner Chanukah? We had a whole discussion about that. Which Sima was that? Does anybody remember from yesterday? I think that was... What number are we doing now? Yud Zion? So if I'm not mistaken, that was Yud Tes. Now you have Yud Tes, right? All the pages for Yud Tes. Where does Yud Tes start? Yud Tes starts on page Lamed Ches, right? You have Lamed Ches, I hope. I don't find it, but that's because... Oh, I think I found it. Right, Hadlaka ala Shulchan. Okay, we're not going to review this whole piece of Torah that we spent a lot of time on yesterday, but you may recall that the Rambam in Perek Gimel says that Leficha Kavu Chachamim Shal Osa Dar Shmonis Yimei Chanukah Elu, and he mentions three things in the original Kviyas of Chanukah. He mentions Hallel, Hodah, and Adlokas Neros. But the Rambam adds a very important qualification, a very important adjective to describe this Hadlokas Neros. He says, Al Pesach Habatim. It would seem that the Rambam is defining Pesach HaBayis as essential to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Do you remember this? In Perek Daled he says, well, you know, even though it's mitzvah la'nicha al Pesach Peso, but b'shas sakonah me'nicha al shulchanah v'dayo. But in the original takonah, the original kviyus of Chanukah, the Rambam says it was al Pesach Abatim. Yes, no, maybe so. Anybody remember this? No? Gets me a little nervous if you forgot it, because I think we did it yesterday. In any event, the Ritva argues with the Rambam, without mentioning the Rambam. And the Ritva says that if you cannot light the Ner Chanukah mi Pesach Beso b'Bachutz, and the reason for that is because it's after Achetich L'Regel Menashur, and there's no point, it's absolutely futile to light your Ner Chanukah outside your house because there's no one out there to see your Ner Chanukah. So the Ritva says, light it on your table. And I'll prove it to you, says the Ritva. Because Mishas HaKonah, that's exactly where we light it. What proof does the Ritva have in mind here from Shas HaKonah? Shas HaKonah is a whole different enactment, a whole different entity of Ner Chanukah. Is we proved yesterday that the Ritva holds that even during the time period of Pesach Beso Bachutz, there is a possibility, and Allah validates it, of a Kiyum Mitzvah Ner Chanukah al Shulchanah, inside the house. And that's exactly according to the Ritva what you're going to do if you missed that Achetich L'Regel Menashur. Don't despair. Don't think it's a catastrophe because it's already a half hour after Tzeis HaKochom. Tzeis HaMitva, no. Light it inside your house and I'll prove it to you from the din of... In other words, what the Ritva wants to get out of Shas HaKonah is that you see the Halacha recognizes that the Ner Chanukah could set up a different... We'll say call it a different quality of Pirsum HaNes for the Bnei HaBayis. And now if we go back to Siman Yud Zayin here on Lamed Aleph, if you ask yourself, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, how critical is Pesach Beisel Mibachutz, it sounds to me like it's very critical. The Rabbi Yerucha becomes so creative here to find a way in which you can achieve this requirement in Echanek of Pesach Beisel Bachutz, even according to Rashi, that the minute you go Bachutz, you're standing on Rosh Hashanah, which is antithetical to Echanek according to Rashi. And the answer is the Oviyah Pesach. A very creative answer to this question. But what motivates, you know, the Rabbi Yerucham to come up with this brand, to pull a rabbit out of his hat? And the answer is because he wants to maintain Pesach Beis Ol Mibachutz. And therefore he came up with this idea that his Tzuras HaPesach, Oviyah Pesach, is considered Mibachutz, even though it's not Rishus HaRav. In the next paragraph, he has the Chasdei David on the Tosefta. Does anybody know what country the Chasdei David came from? Just curious. You don't mind a little history. He was Italian. Jewish Italian. He was a great giant of Torah. And his name was Rabbi David Pardo. Every one of his Sfarim, he published, I think, 20 Sfarim in his lifetime, all have the word David in it, because his name is David. So he has the Mizmar LeDavid, which is a super commentary on Rashi, al Torah. He has a Chasdei David, which is a super commentary on the Tosefta. The name of his yeshiva, 4 centuries ago, in Italy, was Torah Umada. Now people think that YU created Torah Mada. Torah Mada predates YU by 400 years. The Italians, you should know, were a very unique community. They were heavy into all the sciences and all the disciplines. And even the great scholars in Italy were tremendous scholars in secular disciplines. And it was not considered, you know, taboo. It almost reminds you of the Rambam and the Ramban, you know, that period in Spain. And the Rashba and others, you know, lived in Barcelona and in Girona and all these cities where they established Jewish communities, and they were tremendous scholars. I mean, they knew everything about astronomy and other sciences and other disciplines. The Vilna Gaon, by the way, belonged to that kind of school of thought. And he used to say that the 7... branches of the candelabra, is that a good word? He says represent the 7 disciplines of human knowledge, one of which is music, by the way. The Vilna Gaon had a tremendous interest in music. He held that music was like the key to unlock the mysteries of the universe. And don't ask me why, because I don't know beans about music, but it seems that it's all mathematical. The Vilna Gaon said about music that if we would appreciate the music of the Levium and the Beis HaMikdash, our neshamas would be poreach. We wouldn't be able to maintain the hybrid nature of the human being, of both body and spirit, body and soul. I mean, just, it'd be like Maimon Har Sinai. You know, it was only at that time that they were so great that they could still maintain, be alive and hear the Shiras HaLevium. Anyway, be that as it may, the Chasdei David says the following. Now, what are we trying to fill in here with this Chasdei David? You remember that the Rashba was very upset about Rashi, because if Rashi completely rejects the possibility of Ner Chanukah and Rishus HaRabim, what is going on in the Mishnah Bava Kamma? The Mishnah Bava Kamma is wondering who's responsible for the Shmirah, for guarding against the Zikin regarding to a Ner Chanukah. So that would make sense if it's out in Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yehuda comes up with this new halacha that since he's fulfilling a mitzvah, he has Rishus to put his Ner Chanukah out in Rosh Hashanah, is a melo, we alleviate him of the responsibility for compensating a Nizak who's damaged. But according to Rashi, there ain't no such thing as an entity of Ner Chanukah Rosh Hashanah. It's a Tarati Disasre. So how could the Mishnah envision a situation where in the Hamamina, maybe this is the Shitas Chachamim, you would be responsible for Nezikin because of your Ner Chanukah Rosh Hashanah? And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not responsible because you're fulfilling the mitzvah. The mitzvah alleviates you of responsibility. There is no Ner Chanukah Rosh Hashanah. Or is there? According to Rabbi Yerucham, If you cannot light your candle in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, according to Rashi, where are you going to light it? In the Oviat Pesach. Now the Oviat Pesach is already accessible to the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Let's say, for example, I'm a camel rider and I've got this massive amount of flax on the back of my camel, back of my donkey, whatever it was. And it overflows in all directions. So as I pass by through the Shusarabim, some of that is going to catch fire from your Ner Chanukah, which is situated in the Oviat Pesach. And this is, I think, what Rabbeinu David Pardo is going to add for us. Let's read the Tosefta, and then we'll see what the Chasid David has to say about the Tosefta. Gamal Sheton Pishton. The over b'shusarav nichnas b'pishtano l'tocha chanus v'dolko b'nero shel chenvoni v'hidlik es habira, says the Tosefta, mina agaf ulachutz chenvoni chayav. There's something here in this Tosefta about an agaf, aleph gimel pei. And aleph gimel pei is very similar to what? What do you say? To the Oviat Pesach. Says the Chasdei David, Kamashmal on Hocha, what's the Chiddush of this Tosefta? And here we're turning to page Lamed Beis. The Lav Dafka Hinia Chenvani Nero B'Shusarab Mamish. Right? You see, let me just explain one thing. This is just a pure technicality. It has nothing to do with the lumpness of the sugya. But technically, it's very rare back in the time of the Gemara to find a house that immediately spills into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. That was very rare. Back in the day, and Rashi points this out many places in Shas, the batim used to flow into a chatzer. And very often the chatzah was privately owned, sometimes it was a joint ownership, but it very rarely went all the way out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. A classical exception to that rule is the chenvani. The chenvani, who's not situating his house in a private cul-de-sac, if you will, you know, in a chatzer, but rather he puts his chenvani, his geschäft, how do you say, his store, mamish, what?
His store window.
His store window or store entrance, right contiguous to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Yeah. And that's where all the Nezikin problems begin. But now we're talking about Ner Chanukah, not a classical H. Oh. So the halacha is that the Baal HaGamal, right, who's the Baal HaPishton, right, he says, Gamal Ton Pishton, he's going to be responsible for Nezikin. Why? Because the Ner Chanukah was min ha'agaf v'lachutz. We'll see exactly what an agaf is. We're hoping that the agaf will be the sof of pnimis, if you follow what I mean. Says the Chasdei Dov, what's the chiddush of this brisa? What is the brisa adding to what we have already in the Mishnah? The lav dafka yiniach chenvani neiru b'shusarab mimamish. In other words, we're not talking about a case where the chenvani put his neir in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, because take a look at the language of the Tosefta. It says nichnas pishtano l'tocha chanus. You see that language in the Tosefta, that the pishton went into the store, and then dolko b'neiru shel chenvani. Okay, so and this is the critical reason why we're shifting the responsibility here from the Baal HaChanus over to the Baal HaGomel, the Baal HaPishtan. Elo afilu hinicha chutz me'asof ha'pnimis shel ovi ha'pesach. He already went beyond the sof ha'pnimis. This is the language of the Chasdei David. And again, the reason why he left his ner, or he lit his ner, chutz l'sof ha'pnimis, because we have to have chutz, right? That's the key to fulfill the mitzvah of ner chanukah. It's got to be chutz l'bayis. Shal ovi ha'pesach. Afilu b'agaf atzmo dahainu be'ovi ha'pesach. So the word agaf now becomes identical with the ovi ha'pesach. And he's beyond the Sofa Pnimis. Afilu hachi chayov shareishina she'ein derech laniach nero el b'toch hachanus v'lo bi'ovi ha'pesach u'bal ha'gamal potur de'lo nichnas l'toch hachanus mamish v'urchehu de'zimnin sh'abeheim ha'maleches b'tzidei rishus rabim u'masoi and the burden on her shoulder nichnas k'tzas v'ovi ha'pesach ha'som rishus rabim. So he's saying the following. Who is responsible? Is it going to be the Balach and Vani who lit the Ner Chanukah? Is it going to be the Balach Gamal whose Pishton became a flame when he walked by and the Pishton got lit by the Ner Chanukah? He says it depends. Where did the Chenvani situate his Ner Chanukah? Okay. So he says the following.
This isn't talking about Ner Chanukah, is it?
It is.
Or is this just talking about a Ner?
I think it's Ner Chanukah because...
That's the Gemara. I
think it's Ner Chanukah. Am I making a mistake?
I don't know. The Tosefta just seems to say Stein.
No, because that's the case in the Gemara.
I don't know. Let's hold on with your question and see. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm making a mistake. But in any event, let's see what goes on here. Says the Chasdei David, where did he light his candle? So let's underline the words the urchehu. Okay, that's number one. So he knows he's putting a lot of emphasis here on urche, on what is generally accepted, and what can we anticipate. And he says the following, that he niach michutz misof apnimis shall ovia pesach afil bagav atzmo dani ovia pesach afil ochi chayov shareishino she'ein derech laniach nero el b'toch hachanus v'lo bi ovia pesach. So now the Baal Hachenvani who lit the ner, he's going to be responsible for damages because he went too far. Normally, what would happen is she'ein derech laniach nero el b'toch hachanus. In other words, up to but not beyond the sofa pnimis, which is called toch hachanus. Instead, he lit the candle b'ovi ha'pesach, and it's very and he should have realized that this is a very precarious situation because it's very very much urche. It's very much anticipated. It's in style that somebody with a masui is going to go into the ovi ha'pesach. So he shouldn't have put it in the Ovia Pesach. Ulefi zeh nireh derashi yifarish ma'idisnani niach en vonias nero mibachutz chayov hainu, based on this Chasdei David, chutz mi asofa pnimis shal Ovia Pesach. He went beyond the sofa pnimis. He lit his candle in the Ovi HaPesach. And in this case, according to the Tosefta, again, the Tosefta is reflecting the Shita of the Chachamim. In a second, we'll see the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But in the case of the Tosefta, he had no right to light his candle be Ovia Pesach. He should have lit it up to, but not beyond, the Sofa Pnimis of his bias, the Ein Derech Lahadlik Mibachutz. And not only Ein Derech Lahadlik Mibachutz, but it's very much in style, very much anticipated, that the masui that's on the back of the gamal will go into the Ovia Pesach. So he really set up an age in a negligent way. Oh, v'alzeh Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'ner Chanukah potur mipnei shehotzio birshus. He had every right to light in the Ovia Pesach. So I think, Abby, what you said before is right, that the Tosefta was not discussing the case of Ner Chanukah. Mm-hmm. In general, for a person to place his Ner in the Ovia Pesach, in the Agaf, that's very precarious, and he's really negligent, he's a poshea, he's going to be responsible for damages. But Rabbi Yehuda says there's one exception to that rule, and that's going to be the case of Ner Chanukah. That's why he says, B'ner Chanukah potur. What is the base of B'ner Chanukah? It's like a however. What? He's like saying, however, in the exceptional case of Ner Chanukah, then he's potter. Why? Because again, what's the critical word in Ner Chanukah? Chutz. He's got to get chutz. If he's got to get chutz, he cannot light the candle up to but not beyond the Sofa HaPnimis, because up to and not beyond the Sofa HaPnimis is still considered to be b'fnim. In other words, we're not going to allow you, because the halacha doesn't validate a Ner Chanukah in Rishus HaRab, to light your Ner Chanukah out in Rishus HaRab. First of all, it's too precarious. And secondly, it's not the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But mikol makom mitzvah lahadlik Ner Chanukah chutz. No, so how do you achieve chutz in the case where as soon as you walk out of your entrance, you're in Rosh Hashanah? The answer is chutz mi sofa pnimis, outside of the sofa pnimis, shalat pesach ovi, shalat pesach, the ovi a pesach atzmo. So Ner Chanukah becomes the only exception to the rule that was formulated by the Tosefta, the way the Chasdei David explains it, of we don't allow, it's taboo to allow you to light a Ner on the Ovi HaPesach. The only exception is going to be, says Rav Yehuda, is Ner Chanukah, where Adarabah, in this particular case, where your your bias, you have to keep in mind, Rabbi Osei, that the Chenvoni lived in the store. Right? That's a sugya in Masechet Bava Basra and Perek Cheskes Habatim, that there was an inner chamber where the Chenvoni would sleep with his family, so that his chanus would serve a double purpose. It was also the opening of his store, and it was also his own personal house. Now the Chenvoni is in trouble, according to Rashi. How can he fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanukah? Because in the moment he puts his Ner Chanukah bachutz, he's already in Rishus HaRav. And the answer is that this is going to be the case that we discussed earlier, where the Ner Chanukah is going to be situated beyond the Sof HaPnimis, which gives me chutz within the Pesach HaOvi, or Ovi HaPesach. And now we have a big chiddush, that although you fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you're also creating a very dangerous Ner. Why? Because you have to anticipate that the masoi, you know, that the gamal is carrying a masoi on his back, and inadvertently it's almost definite that it's going to go into the Pesach, the Ovi HaPesach, and boom, his whole flax goes up in smoke. And the answer is, lekach, im hidlik ner Chanukah sham, although he would be responsible for damages if it were not a Ner Chanukah, because it's a Ner Chanukah, afogav del inyan is zikin chayov, but here the Chenvoni is potter. Why? Because he's lighting an Ner Chanukah and it liko bershus. That's the point of Rabbi Yehuda. So it's unbelievable that the Tosefta is really addressing the very same issue that we're addressing, but from the perspective of Nezikin, not from the perspective of Ner Chanukah. And now we have the overlap, the intersect between Nezikin and Ner Chanukah. And the intersect is going to be whether or not he's allowed to, or the flip side is he's mandated, to light a fire, a candle, in the Ovi HaPesach. So from the perspective of Nezikin, that would certainly be a no-no. That would be absolutely objectionable, and he would have to accept upon himself all the repercussions of placing his Ner in such a dangerous position of Ovi HaPesach, called in Tosef the Agav. But the exception to the rule is Ner Chanukah. There, he has every right to light the Ner in a place that's precarious. We're going to have to now shift the responsibility from the Chenvoni, who's lighting his Ner Chanukah, over to the Balagamal. Right, the Balagamal. And why? Because the Balagamal has to know it's Chanukah. Again, if he doesn't know it's Chanukah, we're in trouble. But he has to know it's Chanukah. And therefore he has to know that all the storekeepers are going to be lighting their neros outside of their door. What's outside of their door? On the Ovi HaPesach. So be very careful. That's called Harchaka ben Ezekiel. You have to be marchik dalet avos. You'll stay 4 hours away from the Ovi HaPesach, because you have to anticipate that on Chanukah there's going to be a Ner Chanukah in the Ovi HaPesach. And the next paragraph he says that if this is clear from Rashi, then Tzorchim, we have to ask the following question. Im Ovar Vidliko Bershusarab Mamish, Im Akayim Ikar Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. So we've said until now that Bershusarab is absolutely antithetical to Ner Chanukah, according to Rashi Shita. And now he's raising the possibility that no, maybe Rashi holds that Lechatchila, for sure, if everything is equal, he should not be lighting in Rishusarab. But in Avar Vidliko, we're not undermining the possibility of Hadlaka Mishnah Saravim. Would he be Makayim the Iker Mitzvah? Again, he doesn't get the embellishment, the full-fledged, beautiful Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the way it should perfectly, ideally be fulfilled, but there's still a Takonis Ner Chanukah, Lanichal Pesach Beso. So now we have to underline the word O over here, right? So again, according to the first side before the O, then he can still obtain or fulfill the Iker Mitzvah's Ner Chanukah, let's call it the bare bones Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because he did put the Ner B'Pesach Beso. His problem is, his deficiency is, that he put it in Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so we'll have to cut down his mitzvah. Instead of getting 100 brownie points, we'll give him 52 brownie points. But he definitely passed the threshold. Oh, or should we say no? She'ena makayim takonas ner chanukah. It's totally futile because he put it in Rishus HaRav. Now again, before we saw this chakira, this tzarch iyun, I think intuitively, the way we built up the sugya Rashi, we would have said that lighting in Rishus HaRav is totally antithetical and it undermines the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's not worth a thing. The only question that crosses my mind, if you could help me with this, what would be according to Rashi if he lit the Ner Chanukah in Rishus HaRavim and then after he lit it, he pulls it into his house or pulls it into Oviyah Pesach. So you remember we had long discussions about post-Hadlaka salvation. You remember that?
Yeah, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah.
Oh, so since we're saying Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah...
Doesn't help.
So Mishlem, if you go with the first tzad, all right, he wants to embellish the mitzvah. So you can ask, you know, is he doing the right thing by moving it? I don't know. That's an interesting question because the sugi of Tofus V'Omen. Remember that? Right. So you don't want, we don't want a Ner Chanukah in someone's house. Okay, maybe for a short period of time, that's Mishnah Berurah seems to allow it, you know, if he picks it up and he puts it down. But if you all like the second side, which he says, Eino Makayim Takonas Ner Chanukah, so then Lechora, this would be post salvation Hatzol. But here we come to the distinction, if you recall, again, this is only for those who might remember this distinction between Ner Mitzvah and Ner Chanukah. Do you remember this? That if you have not created a Ner Mitzvah, then there's no such thing as post-salvation Hatzolah. But if you created a Ner Mitzvah, meaning there's something unusual about this Ner, whether it be the place you lit it, or the time period that you lit it, or because you have other Neros, or whatever it might be, in such a way that you have at least a Ner Mitzvah, what you're lacking is what's absent here is a Ner Shel Nes. Anybody remember that? Abby, were you here?
I don't think I was here. Yeah.
Let me just show you a Rashi that your eyes will pop out. We read this Rashi 1,000 times, but we never really noticed this Rashi. Okay, again, this is a whole discussion which I don't want to review now. On Chaf Aleph Amid, maybe it was Chaf Bet Amid, but I always get mixed up. Hayatafus v'Omid, where's that? That's Chaf Beis Amid Beis, I think. Yeah, Chaf Beis Amid Beis. Listen to this Rashi. The Gemara says in the name of Rava that Hayatafus Tafus Ner Chanukah. He's holding on to Ner Chanukah in his hand, v'Omid, and he's standing with it. Lo asa v'lo klum. So the question that I'm going to ask you, and hopefully you'll give me the right answer, which is the wrong answer, but it's the right answer that I want. What happens if he ayatofus v'omid, and then he puts the Ner Chanukah down? Would he be Yotze?
No,
for sure not, because that's post hadlaka salvation. Oh, so listen to the Rashi, mind-boggling Rashi. Rashi says, lo osa v'lo klum, says Rashi, just 1 second, I lost the place here. Just give me a second here. Hayatofus Ner Chanukah, listen to Rashi, biyado, mishehidlika, achikovsa. What is Rashi implying here by saying that
in the middle, you know,
stood
there the whole time.
It went out already. You know, you're holding it, and finally, I don't know, a half hour later, whatever it is, it went out. Rashi says, "Loss of a little clue." A mind-boggling Rashi, because Rashi seems to imply that if at some point before it goes out, he puts it down, he's yotze. Now put that Rashi together with the next Rashi. And Rashi says that what's the problem with Hoya Tofes Ner Chanukah Biyodo? Rashi says, De Haroe Le Tsarko, Omer Le Tsarko Kamadik. Says Rashi, Le Tsarko Lishtamish Bo. Vileka, listen carefully, Rabosa, Vileka Heker Nisa. Now Rashi consistently, over and over again, says Heker Mitzvah. Here he switches his tune and he says Heker Nisa. Rashi is not stop. You know, Rashi is not just, you know, laid back about these things. Over and over again, Rashi speaks about, like for example, Rashi Shita is that also Lishtamish Liora is because of Hekera, because otherwise, if you're benefiting from the Ner Chanukah, the onlooker thinks that what? That's what Tzarko Kamadik says. Rashi also Lishtamish Liora Shehe Nikashu Ner Mitzvah. He doesn't say Ner Nisa. Or, for example, Rashi on Tzarech Ner Acheres, Rashi says the ha'ilo lo avi heker le mitzvah. So this Rashi has a concept of heker le mitzvah. All of a sudden, Rashi says that if he's tofes v'omeid and the ro is omer le tzarech, is he's lacking heker nisa? It sounds like Rashi is separating between two concepts: a ner mitzvah and a ner chanukah, meaning the upgrade from ner mitzvah to ner chanukah is nace, right? The heker nace. So according to Rashi Shita, it comes out like this: you're toughest v'yomid, and obviously you lit this candle as a ner mitzvah because you have plenty of candles or whatever the mitzvah is, but in order to make it into a nes, you need to place it in the right location. Mipesach beisom b'chutz. So Rashi says, fine, if the ner goes out, but if he places the nair before it goes out in its place, then he can salvage the nair nisa element. In other words, it already was a nair mitzvah, but it wasn't a nair nisa. So let me ask you the following question. Let's go back to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, because again, this was just a little bit of a digression. But why did I have this digression? Because maybe we could make a parallel here. In the case where, according to Rashi, his opening, the opening of his door, led him right into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's not going to light Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, says the Rabbeinu Yerucham, and we saw it also based on the Tosefta with the Chasdei Dov, he should light it in the Ovi HaPesach. That's where we want him to light the Ner Chanukah, because it's already Bachutz, but it's not in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So I ask you the following question. What would be, according to Rashi, if he lit the Ner Chanukah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and then he put it down the Ovi HaPesach? And I'm going according to the second side in his Chakira, the Machaber's Chakira here, that this would underline the mitzvah, because Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is totally antithetical to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. What would be, Rabbi Osei, the tzad? Again, it's just my mind here, but if you can read my mind, to say that in this case he would be also in the midst of Ner Chanukah, that there could be post hadlaka salvation if he lit in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, according to Rashi, even though he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah when he moves it.
When he moves it.
Why? Can anybody?
Nisa.
Exactly. That the Ner was an Ner mitzvah.
Yeah.
Why in tarnation are you lighting a candle in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Are you the bist and gatsa meshuga? Are you off your rocker? Who lights candles in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? For what purpose? And not only that, you'll be chayv in the zikin. So it does have the status of a ner mitzvah, but it's lacking
nisa.
Okay, you're a step ahead of me. It's lacking something that'll give me nisa. What's that middle agent here that I need? Hekera. Why? Because the person sees an Ner Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he has no clue that it belongs to your bias. As we said at the inception of that discussion, that Ner Ishu Beso, somehow the Ner, according to Rashi, has to be in your private property. So maybe that's like the case in Rashi of Tofes V'Omeid, that we said in Tofes V'Omeid, he has to put it down. If he puts it down and he successfully does so before it goes out, he's Yotzei the Mitzvah. How can you have a post hadlaka when we pass in hadlaka also mitzvah post hadlaka salvation? The answer is because at least it had the chutz, the minimum status of what? Of an ner mitzvah. It's lacking ner nisa. That I can supply post hadlaka. I can add the pirsim anes element afterwards. Maybe Rashi would hold that if he lit out Rishus Aravim, it is a Ner Mitzvah, he's not in Gantz of Meshuggah, he must have a Mitzvah in mind. The Pirsum of Hekera that it belongs to this bias is lacking. That you can accomplish post Hadlaka when you resituate your candle in
Ovea Pesach.
In the Ovea Pesach. I'm just suggesting, and again, Ramosai, it's a big chiddush, but I'm throwing it out as a possibility.
This issue of holding something like that, is it sort of a suggestion of suspended animation? Like if you have a pot of soup on Shabbat and you want to take from the soup, so you pick it up, right. You don't put it down, you hold it, right. And then you're allowed to take it out.
Right. You don't want to chazor mitchila, right? You want to just replace it on the garf
for
kotzen.
It's suspended, it's not...
Not here, not there.
Exactly.
Right. But what I'm saying is that according to Rashi, and it's a big chiddush of Rashi, I never would have said this on my own, that it's suspended in midair, but it is an air mitzvah. The only problem is you haven't put it down yet, and if you haven't put it down yet, it's lacking in mace.
Okay, so he hadn't put it down. If he put it down in Rishus HaRabim, then we forget it.
Well, you're already a step ahead of me. Now you want to combine two things. That would be a double chiddush, a double header. No, I was just saying... I was comparing two different cases. I think you're combining the two cases, if I understand you correctly. Well, the first case was where he lit a candle and he was holding the candle. Then he put it down. The second case was where he had a Chanukiah, you know, that was located in Rosh Hashanah, and he lit the Ner Chanukah, and then he moved it into his Ovia Pesach, you know. There's an unbelievable Mishnah Berurah. I learned it with Abby already, so this is old hat for him. But the Mishnah Berurah, I think it's in Tafrei Shayin Hey, let's see if I remember correctly. I'm not good at remembering numbers, but let's see if I got this right. Yeah. This is a wild Mishnah Berurah. I'm Amish. How long have you been learning Mishnah Berurah? A week or 2 weeks? I don't know how long. This is the one Mishnah Berurah that just defies logic. It's here on page 288, if anybody wants to make a note of it. It's Simon Tafresh Ayin Hay, and it's in Sif Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah is called Sif Kat Ches, number Ches. What happens? He needs to put oil before he lights it to last for a minimum of a half hour. In other cases, it has to last even longer. And what did he do? He went ahead. There was not enough oil to last for a half hour, and he lit the candle. And he made a bracha, the whole 9 yards. And then he took a jug of oil and added oil into the net so it could last a full half hour. I'm going to cover the Mishnah Berurah, okay? What would you say, Rav Osai? Goldish Vel. He should relight it and make a brach on it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, O Sifka and Ches. Now listen, the language of the Mechaber is Lo Yotza Yedei Chovasa. I mean, it could be anything clearer than that. Lo Yotza Yedei Chovasa means you did not fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Kner Chanukah. There was no shear, there was no minimum amount of oil that you need. Zok the Mishnah Berurah. Tzarech lecha bosa, litein b'Hashem in kashir, lachzor ladlika. I'm on board. You know, like I'm clapping from the bleachers. Below bracha. What do you mean below bracha? What was the first bracha worth for you? It's worth nothing. Lo asa v'lo klum. The mechaber says lo yatsa yidei chovasa. You know, you see that the Mishnah Berurah is like, he's applying the, you know, this is classic Mishnah Berurah, you know, it's called Savik Brachas Lahaka, you know, you don't know whether you made the bracha or not, so just take a piece of bread, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah all over, almost every page of the Mishnah Berurah, he tells you what do you do. He's very sensitive to Savik Brachas. So the Mishnah Berurah understood that this was a Savik situation. Maybe he was Yotzei the Mitzvah. The man lit a candle that's not a candle. I mean, again, you can call it a candle, but al pidin it's not a candle. It didn't have a sheer shemen in it. So now he's pouring shemen into it. And the Mishnah Berurah tells him step by step, I'm going to hold you by hand and tell you what to do. First blow out this candle, then add the oil into this, and then light it again. but don't make a bracha on it. Ben, what do you say?
I'm thinking that maybe when a person wise, he thought he had enough oil.
And very nice. No, you know, I thought I had tzitzis on my bagel, but little did I know that it's possible. There's no tzitzis. Yeah, I feel bad for you, but you know,
in
my life.
In the event I made a mistake, this first bracha is going to be, I can fix it. Later.
Yeah, but it's a hefsek, and then he lit the candle, and now he has to even change the candle. He's going to blow it out and light another candle. Lo yotzi de chovasa, the Machaber says. It couldn't be anything crystal clear. I am absolutely convinced, Rav Osai. I would wager a major bet on this, that if Rav Yosef Cairo, the Baal Shulchan Aruch, was here in this room, he would tell you, put out the candle, fill up the oil, light it again with a bracha. So again, I don't know exactly why the Mishnah Berurah vacillates on this point, and therefore it's suffering brachos, but what I will tell you is, and again, the Mishnah Berurah, if he was here, might laugh at me, because I have this whole lubdashim thing, that maybe without the shear of the ner, it still has the status of what?
Mitzvah.
Maybe the halach v'ad shetichla regel min hashuk, which generates a shear of a half hour of oil, is based on nisa, on heker nisa, not on heker mitzvah. And therefore, in the case of heker nisa, like we saw in Rashi with regard to tofes v'yomed, there is such a thing as post hadlaka salvation. And maybe that would be, if we could apply that to Rashi in the case where he lit on in Rishus HaRabin, that maybe that's just a deficiency in Ner Nisa, which again is absolutely indispensable. You know, if you don't get to Ner Nisa, forget it. The whole enterprise is down the tubes. But subsequent to the hadlaka, you're now holding on to a Ner Mitzvah, now add the element of Nisa and place it in this case in the Ovi HaPesach. You don't seem to be convinced, no. Ben. I mean, this is the best I can do. You know, after this, you may have to try another shear. I don't know. You know? This is the best I can do. I mean, this is literally brisket Torah in the most classic way. Tzvei dinim. There's one din in Ner Mitzvah, and there's another din in Ner Nisa. Again, if you're running around with a Ner and you're enjoying the benefit of it, then that's not even a Ner Mitzvah. That's garnished. That's not worth a dime. So Rashi says, also l'shtamish li'ora. Otherwise, it's not a Heker Mitzvah, because you're using it for your personal usage. But if you light a Ner Chanukah with all the dinim except for one din, it's not going to last out Shetich L'Regel and Ashuk. Maybe that's a chisaron in Nisa, but not a chisaron in the Etzem Shem Ner Mitzvah. And the same thing we saw in Rashi by Tofes V'Omed, that it is an Ner Mitzvah, but he didn't place it down yet, and therefore it's lacking in Ness.
Why is there a shift in the language from Pirsum Nisa to Heker Nisa?
I would say the following. Again, I'd have to see the various sources that you're quoting, but I would say the following. Pirsume Nisa is something that is, how should I say, what word am I looking for? It's like, is there such a thing called a chameleon that changes its colors? Mm-hmm. What's it called?
A chameleon?
Yeah. Pirsume Nisa is like a chameleon. It mamish changes its colors all the time. You never know at any stage, you know, what is Pirsume Nisa? You don't know in Megillah what is Pirsume Nisa, you don't know in Hanukkah. It really is so relative to so many different elements. For example, you might say at some period of time the Pirsum HaNes was outside, and then it became inside, then there's the Shasakona and so forth. So that Pirsum HaNes is very changeable, if you follow me. It's subject to change. Not so when you use the word Hekera. Hekera is telling you that this is not an Ner Chanukah. Don't even begin to, you know, so if I want to show you that ultimately the absence of Pirsum HaNes is so fundamental and so critical that you forfeit the mitzvah because you don't have Pirsum HaNes, I'm going to use the word Hekera. Because Hekera tells you whether or not this is a Ner or not. If it's lacking in Hekera, it's Pirsume Nisa. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, it's never day or night. It's always the twilight zone. There's a little bit of Pirsum HaNes, less of a Pirsum HaNes, enough of a Pirsum HaNes. Did I cross the basic threshold of what constitutes Pirsum HaNes? It becomes very, very complicated. Like, for example, If I were to tell you that I live alone and I can't light on the outside, or I live alone and I come back at midnight, there's no one out there in the streets, and there's no one in my house. So the Pirsimanes reaches the level of zero, I'm still going to tell you to light in Ner Chanukah. Now, I'm not sure all the poskim would agree with me, but I think most of the poskim would say that. Why? Because you see the Ner Chanukah. And that's called Pirsim Hanes. Very odd. I mean, to use the word Pirsim, which means to notify someone, to publicize someone, when you're, you knew about Ner Chanukah, obviously, if you're lighting a Ner Chanukah. So, Vosses Gemachadish Gevar, what Chiddush did you teach anybody here by lighting a Ner Chanukah? That's still considered Pirsim Hanes. What would be if, for example, on a particular night of Chanukah, because of stormy weather or because the sirens went off in Ashkelon, no one's out in the streets. So does that mean that I forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because there's no Pirsim Hanes? I'm saying, Lu Yitzu, you found the mitzvah where there's not one person out in the street. That's why I say the Pirsim Hanes is a very iffy kind of thing. I'm not always willing to say that this for sure is not Pirsim Hanes, you forfeit the mitzvah. Maybe yes, maybe no. We have to check it all out. But if I say there's no Akeira, then what I'm trying to tell you is that that's not a Ner. That's, as far as Chanukah is concerned, that doesn't qualify as a Ner. Did I answer your question? I mean, yes. You'd have to show me where...
Right.
Inside, so, and see if it fits, but that's what I would say intuitively.
So I'm wondering if there's a parallel with Magid. You're in Leila Seder, even if you're by yourself, you say the Magid, even though you're a teller that
right. listens. Sholas Atzmo, the Rambam's life.
So you say it yourself. So you're someone else to myself. I'm telling the story to myself. And right. I'm still in this one.
But I have to tell you this. Then, if I would ask you in halachic terms, universal halachic terms, is there such a thing as Pirsim to oneself? The answer is an absolute flat no. Pirsim by definition means telling others. I'll give you an example. I can give you many examples. Let's say, for example, a chassan, in order to recite Sheva Brochas, he needs to gather together a minyan. Because there's no Sheva Brochas without a minyan. And if you look in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says, it's Pirsim. Now, you might ask me, what is the chassan exactly publicizing when he recites these brachos? So again, that's a very profound question. I'll give you the answer on a very superficial level. It's called Me'ashem Ish Le'isha. I didn't find this woman the way an animal would find a mate, from one gender to the other. Hashem was behind this all. And that's something I have to publicize. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says you need a minyan for Mila, and the Avia Ben should gather together 10 people because of Pirsim. What's he being the Farsim? This is not a surgical operation for health purposes. There's a Rambam somewhere that seems to assume, at least that's what he told someone, in his Moral and Avuchim, that maybe Bris Mila is healthy. Because there's some infection that could get underneath the foreskin, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I am declaring that the Mila itself is for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila, because Hashem commanded me in Mila. I'll give you another example. Birchas HaGomel. I have to gather together 10 people and say, Asher Gmalani Kol Tov. I have to publicize the miracle. I was in danger and Hashem spared me. Does anybody know in Tanakh who is the chassan who gathered together the people to recite Birchas Chassan? Excellent boss. How many people did he gather?
10.
So the Gemara says, why did he gather 10? He could have gathered 9. And he would be the 10. The answer is Pearson. Because his obligation is Pearson. He's got to gather 10 other people. And in Mishnah Berurah, he says that with regard to Birchas HaGomel, It's not enough, according to many poskim. Again, there's an issue about this in halacha. I'm not poskiming here, but just in theory, the Mishnah Berurah quotes poskim, Rishonim, that would say that it's not enough to gather 9 people and you're the 10th. You want to recite Gomel? Get together 10 other people, and you're not included in the 10. Why? Because of Pirsum. Pirsum requires 10 people to be notified, to publicize something. I want to notify. And if I want to notify you that I'm about to circumcise my son for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila, I got to gather together 10 people. And all told, it'll be 11.
Is Pidgin a Ben also in that 10?
Not that I remember. I can show you the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. I don't have it here. But
Pidgin Ben,
I don't think there's any Pirsum in Pidgin and Ben, as far as I know. Yeah.
So Kiddush Hashem or Chasikle Hillel Hashem is not to do something in front of 10 people. So am I one of those 10 people?
So that's the Minchas Chinuch, goes back and forth on this question. Does the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem apply only if there are 11 people, means the Makadish himself, who's about to give up his life, plus 10? Or is he included in the 10? And if I remember correctly, although the Minchas Chinuch leaves it as an open-ended question, he's inclined, and those who came after the Minchas Chinuch, to believe that it's only if there are another 10 besides himself, as Ben says very well, it's a Pirsum. I want to notify the public that I will not give up my religion at any cost. But he's not part of that me. So that's why I say to you, this concept in Ner Chanukah that Pirsum could apply vis-a-vis myself, hey Berzon, you know there was a miracle of Purim, that is antithetical to everything we know about Pirsum.
Well, the whole thing doesn't say anywhere that there are 10 people.
Correct. So that's another point that Lenny is making, that Pirsum usually requires 10. In Ner Chanukah we never found 10. In Megillah, it's a complicated business. I mean, there's a machloksia between Ravasi and Rav. Ravasi says that Megillah requires 10. And Rav says that it depends whether it's Megillah Vizmana or Megillah Shalom Vizmana. But be that as it may, there's definitely an element of literal Pirsum with regard to Megillah. And we got to get together 10 people. And even if we pass it like Rav, that if you don't have a minyan, you still read the Megillah B'Yachid. But L'chatchila, Rav also agrees. And that's why Rav himself, the Gemara tells us, gathered together 10 people for reading in the Megillah.
Would you make a problem in that case?
Where? In Megillah?
Yeah.
Again, we pass it like Rav. So if you don't have a minyan, you're alone, you read the Megillah, you make all the brachas. But even Rav agrees to L'chatchila, we want Pirsum, we want 10. So Rav Osei comes out there, 2 dinim in Pirsum. There's one din in Pearson that requires 10, and there's another din in Pearson that doesn't require 10, but it's still Pearson. I'll give you another example, in Lashon Hara. One of the few cases where even the Mishnah Berurah agrees in Shmiras Halosh that you're allowed to talk Lashon Hara is where it's already public knowledge. Again, the Mishnah Berurah has 15 conditions. You know, so the whole halacha of saying something about someone that's pejorative, that's negative, and it's public knowledge, that halacha, according to Mishnah Berurah, is totally theoretical. You would have to check off a whole list, you know, before you can implement this. But in the books, in the Gemara in Bava Basra, in Erechin, excuse me, that's what it says. So the Gemara says, what makes it public? Because it was already said in the presence of 3 people. Biapi plus. Why is that public? Pirsum in halacha requires 10 people, not 3 people. So you see already that there are 2 dinim in Pirsum. There's 1 din in Pirsum, which is the full-fledged din, and that's a minyan, and that's required in Megillah L'chatchila, if all things are equal. And then there's a din of Pirsum in front of X number of people. If I had to ask myself the question about Ner Chanukah, what would be my minimum number of people for Pirsum, if it's not a minyan? I would say it's relative to how many people live in the house.
Each beso.
Right. That if you have 5 people in the household, get together 5 people. The Yushalmi says that Bar Kappara used to gather together his family and read the Megillah in front of his family. And I would say the same thing in Bar Kappara's favorite reference as far as Ner Chanukah. Ner Yishu Beso gathered together the troops. Would you wake them up at midnight if you got home at midnight? I don't know. You know, I'm very sensitive to waking up people, but maybe you have to wake them up for the sake of Ner Chanukah. And the Pirsum here is the bias itself. How many people in the bias? I don't know. It could be 1,000 people. It could be 5 people. It could be 2 people. whatever the number is, that's relative to your bias, but that creates a din of pirsum in front of the bias. Now there's no one in my house, I'm living alone. Is that also enough of pirsum from the bias? And who's listening? You know, I'm throwing a stone, you know, the what is it called? The branch break, the tree breaks, you know, in the middle of a forest. It, was there a noise or was there not a noise?
That still is ish ubeso.
Right. And I'm the ish and I'm the beso. It's like, you know, this is like, you know, Freudian psychology. At some point I'm talking to myself.
I think that,
you know, if it's me, myself, and I, there are three people in the conversation. Yes.
Yeah, so, maybe yeah. That should be the three and the ten with the Lashon Hara. I think the three is not a Pearson. I think the three is not a secret anymore.
Right. It's that going to become a Pearson. Yeah. I was thinking, could that apply here to Ner Chanukah? That if I tell all the people in my house, maybe eventually the word is going to get out. You know, I don't know.
But we know Ner Chanukah is like interesting in terms, because even the guy, we said that maybe even the guy will see it.
Tamidoy.
So it's not. It's not in a certain numbers, and it's a special thing of just the pirsum.
Very hard to grasp what pirsum anes is. We've been learning Chanukah for how long already? 6 weeks. I still don't know what pirsum anes is exactly.
It could be this.
I can't define.
With all this thing with Gomel, with the bris, and with it, and it's your mitzvah. It happens to you. So you got to be pissed. You need 10 people. With Hanukkah, it happened to the whole nation. It was already prison, but they actually happened.
Right, maybe that itself gives it a built-in person.
It's a slightly different.
That's a brilliant idea. I don't know. Maybe you can develop that. I wouldn't publish it yet, but maybe you could. Maybe you could have some good raw material, the bones, good bones, as we say. Ben, I'll be with you in just a minute. I just was wondering about something here that crossed my mind. One second. Yeah, you know, about an hour ago I spoke at the OU Center, and I don't remember if I shared this with you, but why does the Rambam begin with an entire historical background to Ner Chanukah? Did we discuss this?
Yes.
And the answer was Pirsum Anes, yes. Correct? Why was it Pirsum Anes? Because the Rambam says you can skip over Torah Shebal Peh, just go straight to my Mishnah Torah, and there's nothing in Torah Shebal Peh about Chanukah, so the Rambam feels compelled to give you the background of the history. Why is that necessary? So Lama Zogin, you know, tell me, I have to light a candle, I need the following oil, I got to light it in the following place, tell me where the Adlakos of Mitzvah, where the Kops of Zakah, why do I have to know the history? The answer is because what's the essence of the goal of the Mitzvah? Pirsum HaNes. You can't be a Mefarsim HaNes if you don't know about the Nes. So the Rambam feels compelled to give us the background of the Nes. So we're beginning to see here at both sides that the normal halacha, the classic halacha in universal terms, which is called mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavona. Now again, I'm not sure that we pass a mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavona, but most of the poskim say that in a mitzvah d'rabbanan is ein tzrichus kavona. The mitzvah d'oraisa perhaps would machmir for that sheet of the mitzvah tzrichus kavona. So if you didn't have kavona, you have to repeat the mitzvah. That's a big chumra, but there are poskim. But in a mitzvah d'rabbanan, almost everyone agrees that mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavona. So now the question is, what about Ner Chanukah? All I had in mind in Ner Chanukah was to light the Ner. I don't know beans about the history, but the answer might be that since Pirsum HaNes is critical, it's essential to the very nature of the mitzvah, that's what they established here, to publicize the miracle. You can't publicize the miracle if you don't know the miracle. So if you're totally unaware, you know, you do it because somebody puts a gun to your head and says, light a candle now. So Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says on Leil Pesach, he puts a gun into your head, he says, eat the matzah, it's the night of Pesach. He eats the matzah yotzah, the Gemara says, right? A guy blows his shofar on Rosh Hashanah, don't ask me why, simply for the musical enjoyment of the shofar. He's blowing reverie, he's waking up his friend. Gemara says yotzah. What about Ner Chanukah? Somebody puts a gun to my head and says, light an air, or I don't know, I'm in a dark room, I light an Ner Chanukah, just at the time of Ner Chanukah. The answer is Yinat Yotzah. Even if I hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavanah, that's because other mitzvahs don't require anything but a maisa mitzvah. Here, the maisa mitzvah is part of a broader constellation, the goal of which is to be mefarsim the nes. And if you're totally unaware of the nes, you can't be mefarsim the nes. I see you closing. Does that mean it's time for mincha? Wow. Did we just start? All right. Time flies when you're having fun. All right. Rabosis, I think you have enough pages here that we don't have to bother Abby again tomorrow. I think. Am I right?
Yeah.
Let me make a note because I'm definitely going to forget this one. What is the last page? Oh, so wait a minute. Today, so is it safe to assume that you have everything in up until Mem Beis?
To Lamed Zayin.
Lamed Zayin today, but I think we have to...
Yeah, I think we already did in the past Lamed Ches to Mem Beis.
I don't have that much.
So the reason I mention this is because as I prepare for tomorrow, I want to make sure that you have the pages. So this way, Abby will give you a little vacation tomorrow, you know, and you don't have to hassle with. And although the machine seems to be behaving properly, the small machine.
I had to put paper in it today.
The big machine they don't have, right?
Is there this
I can't give you yet because I need this.
Who is this?
Rabbi Yitzchak Sarutsky, from the famous Telza dynasty of the Sarutskys. You know what? This I may be able to give you, I think.
I have a Pekastes.
Okay, so take a look if there are any pages here, and then if you don't mind looking here, if I have it here, you can take those.